Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Buckets of rain. Again, I go to Sydney, New South Wales, Jeremy Zakas, reporting on what he told me was over. La Nina's over, John. We're fine. It's wintertime. Things are sort of normal. Yes, there's a little snow and it's a little early, but we're no longer going to be swept away. We're no longer fearful of our dams breaking until, Jeremy, I'm looking at a live satellite of a large green patch with yellow and red inside of it sweeping towards Sydney. What is that? Good evening to you, Jeremy.
G'day, John. Yes, just when we thought we were safe from La Nina, once again, we're getting buckets and buckets and buckets of rain now. Now, that yellow and green patch you're talking about on the satellite is very much over where I am as we speak, and that is heavy rain. That's heavier than normal rain, too. At this time of winter, normally we would be seeing, you know, light showers. We'd be seeing rainfalls coming and going very much, you know, hour to hour. But this is an ongoing rainfall right now. And it's been ongoing very much so since really Saturday morning when we started to get the light patches. But now, as you just said, with the satellite, you can see we are absolutely drenched. And I might say, too, as you mentioned, this is... Remember, the scientists called an end to La Nina for us 2 weeks ago. But, John, honestly, with this amount of rainfall, this amount of unseasonable rainfall, I dare say we might be talking La Nina sometime again early this week.
There, according to these reports, are evacuation orders out. Where, from where you are you being evacuated? Are you under threat?
There are evacuation orders. Luckily, John, at this point, fingers crossed, I won't have to evacuate. But we're talking about Camden and other places in southern Sydney, which are low-lying areas. These are places that have major rivers running through them. Now, I'm really only 15 minutes away from there. So I'm in a place called Campbelltown, which is just a little bit outside Camden. So we're watching very closely what the rain does. Luckily, I'm on a little bit higher ground, but the evacuation orders are serious, though. The New South Wales government is saying, do not wait for the rain to come. Do not wait to see what happens. Just get out now, because we know by experience now that when the rain comes, it's already too late. You have to leave. So people are starting to leave as we speak.
It looks like it's missing Canberra and not going north to Queensland, just striking. It's almost as if Sydney is the target. Now, what's puzzling here is La Nina came from the west, and the Indian Ocean dipole came from the west, and the polar surge came from the south, and then the tropical storms out of the equator came down from the north along the Queensland coast. I don't remember a storm coming from this direction. Is this unusual for you?
This is a little bit unusual insofar as the amount of rain. Normally, these northerly, sort of northeastern storms, which is where the front is coming from at the moment, they tend to be a lot less rain. They're basically from the tropics, so they do carry a lot of moisture. But by the time they reach us here in Sydney, they don't have that much rainfall left in them, so they tend to be scattered showers. But this is very unusual, and this isn't the way that we've been seeing La Nina come across before, because as you mentioned, it normally comes from the west. So I guess technically this is why it's not La Nina, but the fact that we have large bodies of water coming in from the northeast now, which is across from over the ocean, and the ocean itself normally cools down that rain band, which means it actually stops the moisture before it hits landfall. But in this case, it's carrying it right through onto land and is continuously doing it. So this, again, it's an unusual weather pattern. It's something that we haven't seen before, and it's something that's not yet being explained by the meteorologists as a phenomena.
Two checks. First, the dams. Are they holding? And second, when do you expect the next weather front?
The dams are holding, John, and the thing is now we're just used to the dams releasing water constantly. So the dams generally, during drought seasons, they'll just not have any of the overflow turned on, which means they won't have water going over through the dam and releasing. But since we've had La Nina, basically those valves have been left open. So the dams are constantly releasing water, which is great because it means that they're not overfull. We're not in a situation where there'll be an emergency release, which will cause extra flooding downstream. But the problem is we do have weather front on weather front coming in. So the next one coming in is really only just 24 hours, 48 hours away. We're not expecting to abate from any weather anytime soon, which means the dams are going to constantly be taking the brunt of this force. And because it's a lot of water coming in from the Blue Mountains, so coming from higher areas, the water continuously runs down to the lower lying areas in Camden, which I spoke about before, and into Sydney too. So there's every potential, again, the city, the CBD itself, will also feel that water over the next few days at least, possibly the next whole week.
A lot of hydropower in Australia, a lot of power in Australia, a lot of coal. Good heavens, you've got coal, you've got oil, you've got everything. But a couple of weeks ago, as I recall, you were having threatened brownouts, even blackouts, because the electricity rates had spiked. The government had to move in and essentially take over the electricity grid. And the explanation in the Wall Street Journal most recently is that Australia is making a transition from coal-fired electricity plants to renewables. And that transition is going ahead, but it's not yet enough to assure that if one of the coal-fired plants is down for maintenance or a difficulty, that the grid will be covered. And the only way that the grid knows how to adjust is to raise prices. Have I said all that correctly, Jeremy?
You're absolutely spot on, John. And this is a problem that's been with us for the past decade here in Australia. Australia is a very resource-rich country. We have a lot of coal, which means we have a lot of coal power plants, and which means they are very, very strong as far as being able to lobby the government to make sure they continue to operate, and also very, very strong to be working against renewable energy. But the current government is very, very much positive and for renewable energy, which is why this has come up. But there is a lot of resistance from the coal power plants, because right now, if they move to renewable energy, first, it's going to cost at least $12 billion for them to do that. They have to change their power lines, the way they transmit the electricity around the country, and the way they generate the electricity, which for them is a big cost. And secondly, they can't make the profits that they make out of coal energy with renewable energy. It's a much smaller profit margin, and they know that really they're going to lose all that ability to bring the coal in and set the prices based on what they call the coal prices and the actual mineral prices themselves, because that's the way that they've been able to ramp up their electricity price, by blaming the downstream resources being too expensive. So what's happening now is we're seeing this resistance, John. We're seeing this pushback from the coal-fired power plants, from the energy companies, saying, look, we have this plan to go forward, but look, we're going to have to ask the government to pay a lot more, which means ultimately the energy prices are going to go up quite heavily in the interim. So really, John, it's back to that old story we were talking about, not so old, I guess, only a week ago, where this floating price market for energy in Australia is not working because the fossil fuel companies are able to price gouge when they want to. They don't have a lot of regulation to stop them right now.
And the debate about transition to renewables, is that reignited on the television and in the newspapers because of that shortage?
Interestingly, yes, it certainly has. It has a new news cycle every day, I guess you could say, where there's more discussions about how the Australian energy markets are going to be in the future, how renewable energy is going to be able to come into the market. And there's a lot of talk about how down just south of here in Canberra, where there is a lot of wind farms and a lot of renewable energy supplying that state, supplying the Australian Capital Territory, how that would look on a mass scale. But what the energy companies are saying is that it just won't work for the entire country. Australia draws too much energy. You always have to rely on coal. So there's already that preemptive debate there saying that you'll definitely need coal in the future. Don't even think about trying to move completely to renewable energy, which also comes on the back of the argument about if you do want to go to renewable energy, then expect to have higher prices for your energy. And that'll be charged by the same companies at the moment that are also providing the high prices for the coal power.
Jeremy Zacas, he is in New South Wales, Sydney. He is the target zone for another weather bomb that's headed his way. Australia's weather is not the only story, however. We're going to turn to a surprise lockdown. This time, it is not the pandemic. It is not people. A lockdown of honeybees. When we come back, this is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.